I'm very grateful to be joined today by Liam Dowling. As everybody knows, the Ballymac man. Less than 72 hours after his first English derby win. Liam, was it everything you hoped it would be?
Yes, and more, Flydon. Good afternoon, and how are you doing? Yeah, listen, look, it's probably taken its toll on myself and my wife, Ellen, because it's Tuesday evening, it's coming up to 5 o'clock, and I feel more tired now than I did. Quite tiring anyway, I'll put it like that too. But listen, fantastic experience, and all our dreams have come true there, yeah.
There is a fabulous bit of footage, I don't know if you've seen it, with you out there holding the jacket as the dogs are coming around the last bend and hurling the jacket into the air. And it's just a lovely moment, a spontaneous moment of what it must have felt like.
Yeah, look, I suppose when I saw him going to the front of the second bend, I said, this looks very good. So, you know, you were waiting through that for years and a lot of emotion built up inside you. It was super. It was super. So it's something I won't forget for a long, long time. Anyway,
no, I was only thinking the other day, actually. This isn't the first Ballymac. I don't think you had anything to do with the first Ballymac English derby winner, did you? Was it 1950 Ballymac Ball?
Would you believe it? Ballymac Ball came out of. I came to Ballymacillaget. I'm not sure how long ago. Maybe 20, 25 years ago. And I came and I bought a farm. 30 acres or over, and would you believe that Ballymac Ball came out of that farm? Nothing got to do with me, no relation. And he was owned by a man called Brosnan, and that dog was reared on that farm. And so, I suppose if we check the history books, we will see that probably he's the second dog now to come out of there. So, you'll have to check that on your own.
That's weird, isn't it? Isn't that?
It is weird, yeah. It is weird. I was told this a long time ago. It was a greyhound man there where we bought, and He's Ballymac Ball and he won the English Derby, yeah?
Yeah, I think the story goes that it was his second year. The first year he was really fancied and won the laurels and various other things, but the following year he came back less fancied and actually won it the second time.
Yeah, fabulous. You may check that story yourself, but that appears to be the case.
Yeah, I mean, for a start, for most English people who wouldn't be acquainted with Ireland, would it be fair to say that you Kerry people kind of consider yourself a country within a country in terms of Ireland with a kingdom?
I won't say all of us do, yeah, but I suppose there's a certain amount of pride. We pride ourselves in our football, our greyhounds, and lots of other accolades. But yeah, people might be jealous of Kerry, hence a beautiful county for tourism, this, that, and the other. But we can do other stuff there as well, yeah.
Yes, of course. Now, my first recollection of you with a dog in the derby would have been with Ballymac Vic. Would you have had a dog in the derby final before then?
No, that was my dog. That was the only dog that I was involved in, which I may have sold dogs. I think I sold a couple of dogs to Patsy Byrne and to other different people that may have gone to the final, but my recollection isn't just there now. But for one I owned and trained and participated, Vic was the first dog we took to Wimbledon. Yeah.
And you had obviously he was, I think, third in the final, and then you had Taz finish second at Nottingham, didn't you?
Correct, yes. Taz went to Nottingham, yeah, good bitch, and she finished second, beaten by our in-laws, the Hennessys. So we've reversed that form this year. So it's a game on again.
Yeah, very much. And the impression I always had with Dalady Dar was that he was a dog with huge ability, showed it maybe a year ago or nearly a year ago, and things, he hasn't raced that much, but this is really him achieving what he should have achieved, isn't it? Because he looked a dog capable of a big race, didn't he?
He did fly, but I suppose, you know, a boy doesn't become a man just like that. And last year he was the talking dog, I suppose, to be fair. But, you know, he struck the crossbar here and there. But we had a few issues with him then early this year, and we left him off for a while and brought him back slowly. And to be honest about it, I wasn't even sure whether we were going to the English Derby because we had a very busy campaign at coursing. And it's a big ask, obviously. But, you know, we had a couple of dogs younger dogs, then we said we'd throw in the van with us, and we decided to go and was he our main hope going? He probably was if he came back to his own farm and I think we gave him a prep trial in Tralee sometime before that, and he did 17:15, and then it was very hard not to go, you know.
And what are your plans for him going forward?
I'm discussing that at the minute with the owners. I'd say we're going to skip this international in Dundalk, and we're going to let him live for maybe 3, 4, 5 weeks, and then bring him back slowly again. I say head for Shelburne for a few one-off races possibly, and try and... That's the plan. Look, we have to just let the dog tell us, and we'll see how he goes over the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, and in terms of the owners, obviously he's a syndicate-owned dog. How many lads are in the syndicate?
There's five. Flyja, a man that works for me now and then, John McAuliffe, and his mates, his sons-in-laws and his brother-in-law, and their wives and so on and so forth, and partners. And look, fantastic story. They came in, they just bought a pup, and we reared him, schooled him, and early days he was showing great promise, you know, so they were getting a wee bit excited. And I think when he appeared in the juvenile and went to Shelburne, there was big books put in front of him, but they resisted, and so here we are today.